Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of the week. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and bring in our good friend David Ubben from The Athletic. David, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Appreciate you joining us. And David, we were discussing in the last couple of segments who our most hated pro sports franchises were, and this could be from any time, when you're growing up, when you were watching a team, maybe who you hate now. Do you have a team out there in the pro sports world that you just cannot stand for whatever reason?
I guess the Patriots would be on that list.
They were on a lot of people's list.
Yeah, I mean, if you're sort of ever present for so long, that's a big part of it, but I never really had a ton, I suppose. I grew up watching more college sports anyway, but, I'd say probably the Patriots.
Who did you, growing up in Arkansas, did you have any pro teams that you really got attached to or no?
Not particularly, just a lot of Arkansas. The Rick Pitino Kentucky teams, anytime they came to town, that was always entertaining. But Arkansas is a little bit weird, because all the places that Arkansas actually cares about are all the schools in Texas that they grew up hating in the Southwest Conference.
Right.
And they don't really care about anyone in the SEC, even, you know, what it's been 20, almost 30 years. There's still no one that Arkansas fans, like 365, care about. Arkansas fans hate Texas. That's pretty much it. They don't particularly care about anyone else. And Texas, I'm not sure Arkansas would make their top 10 of most hated programs. So it's a weird existence in Arkansas.
So, David, speaking of Arkansas, as you look ahead to this matchup against Arkansas for Tennessee, what do you think the formula is for Tennessee to go in there and come away with a win?
Well, this is going to be about a 30-minute speech, but I will shorten it to don't turn the ball over. That's what it is. Jerry Pruitt's been talking about it all week, and it's oversimplistic. Every coach talks about it. But the reality is, Tennessee, why did they self-destruct against Georgia in the second half? It's turnovers. That's what happened. Why did they lose to Kentucky? Turnovers. I mean, that you can't put yourself in a 14-0 hole against a team with a really good defense and a really powerful offensive line and a good running game. You can't do that. And that's what they did. Alabama's Alabama, whatever. But if they, tie or win the turnover battle, they're going to win this ball game. If they lose the turnover battle, they're probably going to lose this ball game. I really think it's that simple. I mean, Tennessee, I've been talking for, months on this. When they were winning 6 and 8 in a row, they weren't beating great teams. They were probably, people were overstating how good that team really was. Now they're losing 3 in a row. Everyone feels like the sky is falling. This team's never going to win another game. They're probably going to be fine. They played one bad game because of turnovers. The team is better than it has looked in the last 3 weeks. So, Arkansas is still, one of the Cinderella stories of all of college football right now. A good team, a team capable of winning this game. But if Tennessee shows up and plays anything close to the way that they played on the back half last season, which was good but not great very often, they'll be fine. And that's what it is.
So, at quarterback, we know it's going to be Garantano. As you've already pointed out, it really is like take care of the ball, run the football like you can run it against certainly an improved defense, but not a defense that you can't run on. And just have enough balance and be fine. But if he does make the critical mistake, first of all, do you think that the patience for him is going to be shorter moving forward here? And then who's next?
I think it definitely has to be. I think it's all going to come down to not to be a broken record, but turnovers. If he misses some throws, they're going to put up with that. But if it's a situation where, he's throwing ugly picks, like a lot of the ones he's thrown this year, they can't, there's not going to be a lot of patience for that. I think, if it's early, first quarter, first 3 or 4 drives, and he throws an ugly pick, I think you're going to see somebody come off the bench. Now, if I'm a betting man, I think I might say that Harrison Bailey would be the first guy up. They haven't really said much about what that number 2 spot looks like. Jerry Pruitt said it's pretty open. But I think they know what they have in all these other guys. And I think that there's definitely a curiosity and a sense that, you know, Harrison Bailey has really, impressed them the last few weeks in those scrimmages and the reps that he got when he really got almost no reps in camp. So I think I'd probably bet on Harrison Bailey to being the guy that comes off the bench in the event that Jerick Garantano starts racking up a couple turnovers and puts Tennessee in a hole.
Well, I think that makes sense. My next question on that, and you're thinking about quarterback room management, would we be talking about Harrison Bailey and the incoming freshman and nobody else in that room next year? You know, I mean, you have to think about those things too, right? When you're making these decisions.
Yeah, I mean, you do, but I still think it's about, you know, sort of find the best guy and let the chips fall where they may. You know, as much as they would hate to lose, you know, other guys if it's like they got passed up by Harrison Bailey, if Harrison Bailey is the guy that you hope got when you signed and he's showing signs of that immediately, I think they'd take that trade off if it cost them depth and you know, a couple guys transfer out. I think no question that would have to be changed. It's they're not in a good situation at the quarterback spot. I think that's certainly in year three a pretty stark commentary on their development, evaluation, recruitment of quarterbacks, and they've got to fix that. So, you know, they'd certainly hope that Harrison Bailey's the guy. That you got to probably trim some things down offensively. Maybe have him read half the field. We'll see what they do. But it's going to be interesting because, like I said, the leash has probably never been shorter for Jerick Garantano.
David Uppen from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. David, switching gears to the other side of the ball, the defensive line obviously has gotten a lot of attention this year. Jeremy Pruitt makes the decision to fire Jimmy Brumbaugh. Don't we need to see some sort of significant improvement on that line since Jeremy Pruitt has taken over at some point the rest of this season to justify that move? What's kind of your view there with the defensive line and the move that Jeremy Pruitt made?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily about improving as much as saving off stagnation, I guess. That group, it's an odd move because, you know, that group last year was really improved throughout most of the year, and then they bring back quite literally every person that contributed in a game last year. And then this year, you'd think they'd be improved, and they're not. And that's, you're trying to sort of stop that trend, which was a big issue. So, you know, ultimately, I think it comes down to wins, and if they start winning games, no one's going to care about the defensive line. So it's whatever choice Jerry Pruitt makes at the end of the season, you know, everybody's going to be sort of, you know, singing their praises and hosting a parade. But if they lose and they're 4-6 or 3-7 or whatever, I mean, that's going to be a pretty scrutinized search. That's sort of just what it is, you know. I don't think that there's a ton, you know, there. You can't get bullied up front like they did against Kentucky, where it looks like the effort's not there. But that's the first time I've seen that, really, since Georgia State, where they're just getting beat up front, and you're wondering what the heck is happening. How is that really possible? So, yeah, I think they have to improve, but I don't think they have to all of a sudden be great. I think you just have to avoid performances like we saw against Kentucky, where you're just getting pushed around.
So you wrote this week, David, at theathletic.com, about some of the freshmen who could potentially have bigger roles here in the second half, you know, had more work for some of these guys. You mentioned Key Lawrence, you know, maybe at the star position, but also Amari Thomas. I mean, do you think some of those guys, Bryson Eason, another guy you wrote about, that, you know, they could really start showing up a lot more, you know, from Saturday on?
Yeah, that piece I wrote is at The Athletic. It's pretty much written in the order of which I think you're going to see, you know, these guys or who you see the most. I think Key Lawrence at the top of that list, you know, they know he can play. And I mean, it's probably going to be a star corner where, you know, they really struggle in the opener. And Danico Slaughter, you know, looks like he's kind of gone into witness protection program. I'm not sure what happened to him after the opener. He didn't have a great game, but we haven't seen him at all. But, you know, once Sean Schamberger has come back, it hasn't really fixed the issues over the middle, which weirdly weren't an issue last year. So I think you're going to see Key Lawrence get some time there, maybe get in the rotation at corner now that he's gotten more time and been able to, you know, they use that off week to sort of replace one of their weeks of camp. So
Yeah, I think he wants top of that list. You know, they want to expand the running back rotation. You can never have too many of those guys. So, you know, we've seen a little bit of Javaris Small in that team a little more, and then T. Hodge and D. Beckwith will be in the mix. And, you know, Malachi Wideman as well. You know, I think they'll see him get some more time. So, you know, Amari Thomas, I think, has the most to gain. I think he's played more and more and more as the season's gone on. And he has the most upside. And when you've got a new defensive line coach, you know, it's certainly going to be looking at things with fresh eyes. And I don't think you have a single guy in that group that has the kind of upside that Amari Thomas has.
David Ubben from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexroad. David, appreciate you taking time to join us, my man, as always. And have fun at the game this weekend.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Going to be an interesting game tomorrow for Tennessee in that matchup against Arkansas. And when we come back, we'll break that matchup down a little bit. What's the pathway to success for Tennessee in this game against Arkansas? We'll react to that next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.